They say life is a battlefield. I say bring it on. If you wanna know how I feel, live it till it's gone. I'm just saying that words don't kill, only makes you strong. If you don't recognize what is real, then forever is a long, 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 long time. Some things never change, here we go again. Keep on doing the same old thing, and you expecting change. Well, is that really insanity, or just a loser's game? I only trust in the things I feel. Some may say that's strange. You better recognize what is real, 'cause forever is a long, 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 long.
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk here on radio.dominican.edu with me, DJ Sugar. Before the break, I wrapped up talking about my celebrity gossip about, you know, Lindsay Lohan arrested again, Amanda Bynes making a scene, and Jessica Simpson expecting a baby, and Jada Pinkett Smith, you know, talks about and supports, you know, her daughter, Willow, on cutting her hair. So, yeah. And now I want to talk about some beauty and fashion. So let's first talk about the 10 sexiest fragrances right now. And, you know, those seductive scent. Floral, spicy, citrusy, whatever, you know, your type is. For me, though, let's see. I'm not that into the sweet, super sweet scent. It gives me a headache for some reason. It just gets me nauseated. So mine is kind of, let's see. I don't know how I would describe it. It's very, like, fresh. Because right now I'm using a Victoria's Secret body spray called Aqua Kiss. I forgot what it had in it, though. I think it was, like, something with jasmine in it. It's very, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's fresh in a way. To me, it's fresh. And I'm not that into, like, any powdery type of scent. Yeah. But let's just get back to the 10 sexiest fragrances. So the first one is Tom Ford Cafe Rose. So Ford's foolproof formula for smelling sexy. Clean notes of rose blend with exotic saffron, rich coffee, and the designer's signature patchouli. Interesting. And the packaging is nice. It's just a black bottle, and the label is in, it's like lavender, and the writing's in yellow. Very simple. I like. Next one is Gucci Premier. It's pure gold, and we don't just mean the glamorous bottle, because the bottle is gold. Rose gold, actually. I would like to put it that way. It's not gold gold. Its notes of bergamot and blackberry settle into the musky scents of patchouli and sandalwood. I don't think I've smelled like Gucci perfume before. I'm not a fan, really. And the next one is Chanel Coco Noir. Yeah, I don't know how to say it. It's in French. One spritz from this mysterious jet black bottle reveals an elegant combination of citrus, floral, and musky notes. And I don't know about this one, because one of my friends loves Chanel perfume, specifically Chanel No. 5, and I just don't like the smell of it. It's just too very... It's very strong and very, very like, to me, it smells like powdery. It's powdery smell. I don't like it. But this one, this perfume actually sounds, nice. It's citrus, floral, and musky notes. Interesting. Next one is Santo Domingo by Oscar de la Renta. Think of this fragrance as a vacation bottled. Exotic notes of mandarin, cedrat, and bergamot combined with skin-warming patchouli and tobacco. I don't know if I might like it. I think I might like it just because it'll probably have that citrusy, yet... I don't know. I think I might like the smell of it. But I like the packaging. It's tall. It's tall looking. Very simple. I like it. Next one is, speaking of Beyonce, Beyonce's playing right now. Beyonce Midnight Heat with juicy dragon fruit, exotic purple mocara orchid, and warm amber. Beyonce's latest has the staying power to last through a date night and then some. And then some. That's funny. And then some. I don't think I've ever taken a whiff of her perfume yet. I should. If I ever like stop by Macy's or Nordstrom or Bloomingdale's. But I like her bottle. Her perfume bottle is nice. It's purple. Next one is Acqua de Gioia. Essenza by Giorgio Armani, a cocktail of lemon, mint, jasmine, and cashmere wood. This light fragrance is a little masculine, very sexy, and insanely cool. I think this bottle looks familiar. I don't think I've ever smelled it, but I think I have. But interesting. It's funny how it says a little masculine. Because I think it was Lady Gaga that made a perfume that, or I forgot who. I'm not sure if it's Lady Gaga, but some celebrity made a perfume that was for both male and female. Like it was a unisex fragrance, which I find weird, because I don't know how that would work. The next one is Burberry Body Rose Gold with peach, freesia, rose, vanilla, and musk. This effortless fragrance can be worn day and night. And I'm not also a fan of Burberry either. Next one is Love Diane by DVF. One spritz of this red currant, apricot, jasmine, and praline blend gives us a cheerful boost. It's flirty without being frilly. I think I might like this one. And I like the bottle of it. It's cute. It's like a clear oval bottle. It just says love and then Diane in like big lettering and then two lips. I like it. Next one is Pure DKNY, A Drop of Rose. Made with essential rose oil, the scent is pure, clean, and delightfully simple, as the name suggests. I think this is something that I'm going to like because it's pure, clean, and delightfully simple. Nothing, too fancy. It doesn't have much in it. I'm going to try that, see if it smells good. Next one is Hermes La Ambre des Merveilles. Feminine without an ounce of floral, this combination of sweet vanilla and woody labdanum conveys sex appeal and confidence. I think this one is a very sweet smell because of the vanilla. But then I think it probably balances out with some earthy, scent. But I like the bottle. It's gold. It has like stars on it and whatnot. It's cool. So that's it for the 10 sexiest fragrances right now. I don't know if some sounded appealing and whatnot, but there was a few that, I would like to try out. And, I actually want to go to Macy's or Nordstrom right now and just, smell these fragrances and see which one that I actually like. I probably will tomorrow since I might go to the mall. So if you're just tuning in, I just wrapped up talking about the 10 sexiest fragrances. And the next story is fashion, how to layer up without frumping up. So we all know, it's getting cold outside. We're starting to wear jackets, boots. We're pretty much wearing a lot more layers than usual. And you don't want to look, you can't move or, you look like all ugh. So the first one, or the first rule, is brighten up a sleek black look. To break up an all black tailored look, you want to add a bold graphic scarf. The pop of color will protect you from the cold weather blues and add some shape to your basic outerwear. Faux leather gloves gives a chic alternative to chunky mittens. I don't really have a lot of, I wear some black, but I don't wear all black. So basically if you're wearing, leggings or, black skinny pants, and then you're wearing a black coat, trench coat, whatever, you should just break it up with a colorful scarf. And then if you want to wear gloves, I guess just wear the leather kind. Next rule is rock a newer and cuter thermal. So boring snooze fest formals are so yesterday. Now they come in tons of fun prints and designs. So it's easy to be a fashionista and stay warm at the same time. So for example, there's a picture here. Cher Lloyd is wearing a thermal with... it's a black thermal with bows, printed bows on it. And she paired it with a motto jacket and ombre skinnies. So fashion tip, jeans like this make your legs look twice as long. It's like ombre, which is like, I think it's, it goes from light to dark or dark to light. But back to the thermal. There are thermals at Target. I actually bought one, but it's not printed though. I bought it. It's just a light purple, and you can definitely wear those outside, with just jeans or whatever. And there was printed ones too. There was this, I think there was this yellow thermal with blue birds on it. I forgot the other ones, but they were cute though. I think they were around $15. They were $14.99. Next one is go the alternative parka route. Not all Grandpa Cardis are massively large and lacking in fashion appeal. So for example, there's a picture of Peyton Panettiere. when she's wearing a winter white button-down style. It's perfect piece for traveling since it's soft and cozy without weighing you down. Throw it over a tee and a scarf. So, like, basically the parka, I mean, it's like a cardigan, yet it's like, it's basically just a more heavy cardigan. I think it's cute. You can probably buy something like that at, you know, PacSun or, let's see, PacSun, maybe H&M. Next one is try sweater sleeves for a change. Going incognito for a lunch date with John Mayer isn't the easiest feat to put off, but at least Katy Perry looked cute while attempting, because we all know that she went out on a date with John Mayer. So the sweater sleeves on this tribal meets denim jackets are really warm, but the denim body is more lightweight. You won't overheat rocking this jacket, whatever you want to call it. So basically it's just like a, it's a denim vest and, there's the sleeves are just like a printed long sleeves. It's cute. Next one is add extra warmth without the extra weight. Who says you have to wear a heavy jacket to keep warm? So there's a picture of Selena Gomez showing, you know, a big snuggly scarf works wonders too. But the thing is, if you're walking outside, you can't just be like, you know, with just a scarf and a long shirt. Like, no, maybe like indoors, but just not outside. Next is show some skin with knee-high socks over sheer tights. Thigh-high sweater socks, tights, and knee-high boots equal 3 layers of chic warm. When rocking an oversized faux coat like Vanessa Hudgens, there's a picture of her, offer a fitted dress underneath to balance out your proportions. So she's just wearing like a black dress with a faux coat, fur coat, cheetah print, and she's just wearing knee-high boots with, oh well, first she's wearing tights and then her knee-high socks, sweater socks, and then her boots. Cute. And the last rule is keep it lean with fitted skinnies. A classic toggle coat will never go out of style, but it can look boxy, so choosing the tight bottoms is crucial. Opt for a skinny jeans and Oxfords for a low-key lean look instead of a wide pant leg that will add more mass. It's simple. There's a picture of Taylor Swift. She's just wearing, you know, normal skinny jeans, just, and then her Oxford and just a dark red toggle coat and her purse. It just looks simple, but she looks warm. And so that's it for beauty and fashion. So just keep warm out there. Right now, what am I wearing right now? I'm just wearing my coral pants and a button-up shirt, kind of. Not really. It's not really a button-up shirt. And then I'm just wearing a pea coat to keep warm because it's, like, super windy outside and it's raining. So, yeah. I'm going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I will be talking about snacks that should be banned from a classroom. Well, not for a college classroom, but I thought it was an interesting article. It's just snacks that should be banned from a elementary classroom, and it just kind of reminded me when I was a kid, and see what they should ban today. So don't miss out.
Burn it all down, need to buy another one. Gonna light up in the sound of the speaker. We suck, feed tequila on the rocks till you make your body pop, steam the speaker. Burn it all down, need to buy another one. Gonna light up in the sound of the speaker. Show your knees, suck, feed tequila on the rocks till you make your body pop, steam the speaker.
Don't wanna go
downtown where my posse's at,
because I got
nine lives like a kitty.
You wanna
shake till the circuits start to break in the speaker. Can we get fly, helicopter in the sky, cause we turn it up high in the speaker. If you know what it takes to be my man, we can go make love together. You can be my thug tonight, we can tear it up tonight.
I wanna go
down where my posse's at,
because I got
nine lives like a kitty cat.
You wanna roll, that's how I roll. I wanna go
anything when I hear that bass.
I'm gonna do
nothing if you wanna taste.
You better know.
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk. So I was talking about the next story is about six snacks we should ban from the classroom. You know, just because they're just not healthy, but at the same time they're so good and kids love it. And it just reminded me of my, you know, when I was in elementary school and you know what my, you know, dad packed me for lunch, or my mom too. I guess the first one is Cheetos. And Cheetos is so good. How unfortunate that Cheetos, the only chips represented by a kid-friendly cartoon character, are among the worst snacks in the store. They're high in sodium, low in fiber, and are made with neurotoxic monosodium glutamate, plus when the iconic orange coating fuses with fingertip oil, it forms a puffy light crud that affixes it seemingly any surface. Finally, if you ever seen a kid eat Cheetos, then you know that a lot of finger licking goes into the process. Now think about all the pathogens in the classroom. That's a lot of sick days on the line. So that's the first bad food. Obviously, like, we know why it's bad. It's just very high in sodium, but it's good again. Next one is Hostess powdered sugar donuts. The problem with this breakfast is written, or rather sprinkled, all over sugar. Each serving packs 4 teaspoons, enough to prime your child for a mid-morning energy crash. A bowl of Lucky Charms with milk will supply less. And don't forget about the sugar that doesn't make it into your kid's mouth. That's the sticky, chalky residue that will inevitably end up on bus seats and etc. So yeah. The next one is Kellogg's Pop-Tarts Frosted Cherry. Pop-Tarts may be stocked in the same aisle as a cereal and pancake mix, but breakfast fare, they're not. The primary ingredients here are refined flour, various sweeteners, and oil. Fruit makes up less than 2% of each pastry. Plus, Kellogg skews the serving size. If it really intends one pastry to be a serving, then why did it package 2 per packet? Good question. A bowl of Teddy Graham's cookies, which contain fewer calories, less fat, far less sugar, and more fiber per serving, would make a better breakfast. Next one is Skittles. I never knew that was a snack, but okay. What Skittles lack in fat, they make up sugar for in sugar. They also contain 9 different artificial dyes, including yellow 5, which the Journal of Pediatrics linked to hyperactivity in children. All that sugar and artificial stimulants, not only does a combination like that make it difficult to focus on learning, but it could also lead to disruptive behaviors. Plus, all those food dyes bleed all over kids' hands and cause staining. Yeah. Next is Yoo-Hoo. It's a drink. I endorse chocolate milk at any age, whether it's served as an after-school snack for kids or post-workout fuel for adults. The problem with Yoo-Hoo is that it's not milk. It's actually a bizarre blend of water, high fructose corn syrup, and whey, and high calorie one at that. And if you look at it, it does not look like milk at all. It looks something totally different. Like it's a mix of God knows what. And the last one is Coke. Earlier this year, New York City began regulating serving sizes of soft drinks for adults. If grown-ups are able to moderate portions, do you really think impulsive heating children will be able to? Especially when soda manufacturers include multiple servings per bottle? Absolutely not. This is a particular concerning considering that the Center for Science and the Public Interest estimates that caramel coloring, a carcinogen and soda ingredient, is responsible for roughly 15,000 cancers in the U.S. every year. Between that, the calories and the caffeine, Coke and soda in general is one drink that every school should suspend. And that's true. It's honestly like, you know, nothing but sugar and all that bad stuff. But, you know, it's good to have, you know, once in a while, but as like a daily snack, it's just not good for you. So everyone needs to just stick to their veggies, their fruits, drink milk, and drink water. Yeah, water's the best. So yeah. And that's it for food and snacks that should just be banned in classrooms. And I just want to move on to something that I just found really interesting. That I found it's really inspirational. So basically it's a conversation with a Yale grad. He was accepted to every Ivy League school and is currently at the top of the is currently at one of the top occupations in Microsoft. So this, you know, Yale grad says, "I know right now everything seems so unfair. You need to study all to get compared with other people. Your future is dependent mostly on whether you go to this school, major in this thing, receive this much money, or get this job. I know, I was there, I was you, studying my ass off for an easier life. You're told that everything right now is the most important, that you need to get A's, go to a great college, have an amazing job, generate immense revenue, therefore become happy. But there's just one thing that I fail to understand. And let me tell you, there are barely any things that I do not understand. Yet I have no idea why I'm not happy. From a young age, you're told to take these steps, and if you succeed, you'll reach happiness. It's not true. I've done every step every mother would tell her child to do, to become, but here I am, unhappy. After many years of trying to find where I went wrong, I realized that I had been looking in the completely wrong place." And so a student asks, "Then where do you look?" He says, "At your friends, your relationships, your family, your coworkers, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your social life. Many of the richest men in the world aren't happy. Why? Because they spent all their lives trying to achieve happiness in the wrong place. You have a ton of money. Great. But in the end, we're all sitting in our rocking chairs and nobody cares who had the most money or who went to the best college. It's about who had the most fun, who had the most people to look after them, who had the most to look after. The happiest are the ones that have people to call in times of trouble, the ones that had the time to spend with their family and feel all that love. That's what people lack, love. When you're on your deathbed, everything doesn't matter anymore, you see. You'd want people that love you to be around you, to be comforting you, to tell you about all the great things you did for people. You don't want to be alone with what? A degree, cash that will never be used. Nobody ever says, wow, I went to a great college and therefore I'm satisfied in the end. Only the lucky ones get to say, wow, I was surrounded by my love, my whole life. My time on earth was beautiful. But you know, I'm not telling you not to get into a great college or not to do any of the things society tells you to do. Go for it. It pays off. It doesn't give you happiness, but it takes a lot of stress off your shoulders. All I'm saying is don't make it your everything. If you don't get in somewhere good, don't stress about it. As long as you're okay with the people around you, you're going to be fine. I'm sure of it. Priorities change in the end. We're only people. And I thought that this was really, like, you know, inspiring. Like, I can definitely relate to it for, you know, for my sister and I, just because my sister is, you know, applying for colleges, and I'm going to be graduating next semester, and it's, you know, it's scary and it's stressful. It's kind of just like, you know, if I don't go in here, for my sister, like, you know, if she doesn't go in here, like, you know, she's just going to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm not good enough or whatever. And like, for me, like, just trying to find a job, like, you know, it's going to be tough, but I think it's just, you know, sometimes we shouldn't be stressing and really, you know, focus on, like, you know, everything on money or, like, you know, trying to do this and do that. Like, you also have to take the time to, you know, enjoy life, like, because you never really know when life will end. You know, we all want to live a long life, but we have to also realize, like, you know, we have to spend it the way we want it. Like, you know, we should enjoy it. Like, there's going to be time to study. There's going to be time to do this and do that. But, you know, you also have to remember that you have a family, you have friends, you know, take time for yourself and you'll be fine. Like, everything will turn out to be fine. And I think that sometimes we just don't realize that. Like, we just get so caught up in, like, you know, work and school that we're just kind of like, we kind of forget about ourselves and that we should call up our parents and talk to them and all that. And yeah, I thought that was just really inspiring. Anyways, we can move on to relationship and dating advice. I got it from Cosmopolitan, because I think they have really good, like, relationship dating articles and whatnot. Let's see. The first one I found is, let's start off with the bad one first. How to break up with a guy. Yeah. So, sometimes we don't really know how to break up with a guy, but here's a few steps how to break up with a guy if you're just not into him or it's just not working out. First, drop the bomb at the end of the workday. So mornings are too rushed, and you risk having a really crappy day ahead of you. Wait until it's late at night, and you might lose your resolve. Splitting in the evening gives you time to have the longer conversation you might need. Plus, you'll still have several hours to call your friends if you need to rehash and de-stress. That's true. Because, like, you don't want to start off your day, like, already, like, crappy and it's just really great. There goes your whole day. Next one is do it in person. Don't wuss out and send an it's over text unless you've only been casually a few times. In that case, a Facebook message or a phone call. You owe your soon-to-be ex some FaceTime. I've had that over the text breakup a couple times. Once recently, and I mean, like, it wasn't a big deal just because we didn't really even go out, you know, but we did talk and all that. So that's understandable, but it's good to, like, if you've been going out with that person for a while, you know, for a few months, you know, it's just good to talk about in person and just, you know, like, so you can see, you know, how they definitely feel and how they look like emotion wise. Next one is meet him in a semi-public place. So a park or a shopping plaza offers enough privacy to talk about, but you won't feel confined and trapped as you might at a restaurant or a bar. Going on a walk is good because that's when men and women communicate best. You don't have to look at each other, but you're side by side. And yeah, I think that's a good idea, just going on a walk and just talking about it. Next one is starting off with something positive. For example, we have a great time together. I love your sense of humor and you've always treated me well, but we're not a good match. Yeah. I mean, that's good to start something off with instead of just saying like, oh, you do this, you do that. I don't like that. And I don't think we're compatible. Next one is focus your reasoning on you, not him. I'm at a point in my life where I need someone who is more ready to settle down, or quote, I'm just more focused these days on my career and relationships aren't a priority. Work because they aren't about his flaws and it spares his ego. You're dumping him, but you don't want to hurt him any more than you have to. And that's true. Like, just, you know, just keep it simple. I mean, yeah, at the same time, like, you know, you got to tell him like how you really feel. Next one is hear him out. But if you started feeling like he's just rambling in circles and you've made your point, say firmly, we could go over this forever, but it's just not going to work out. Yeah, that sounds harsh, but you need to communicate. There's no leeway here and your mind is made up. And I think guys do that sometimes. They're just like, but this and that, and they just go on forever, and it's just kind of like you've already, you know, made up your mind that you don't want to be with him, and he's just, you just can't, like, let go, I guess. Next is steer clear of him for a month. No phone calls, no Facebook messages, texts, nothing. It's easier to accept a breakup if you aren't checking in on each other, and if he asks to still be friends with you, don't lie and say that's possible. Tell him, I hope one day we can be friends, but right now we need to have some time apart. And I've been in that position before, and it's very tough. It just made it more complicated than it already was, basically. And it just led to like the worst. Yeah, so not a good idea. It's good to just, you know, if you see him around, just be like, oh, hey, like, you know, that's it. But, you know, just try not to stay in contact with him for a while. Next is unfriend him. Unfriending sends a clear message that you're done. Plus, why torture him with photos of your life or risk being upset seeing him with another girl on your newsfeed? And that's true. Like, well, I'm still friends with my ex on Facebook and whatnot. But it's not like we don't really do anything on Facebook anyways. But still, like, you know, like, don't follow each other on Instagram or Twitter or this or that. Like, because you're going to see what the other person does. And it's just kind of like, it's just going to make you, like, think and, you know. And that's just a useless, like, feeling. So that's that. And so the last article I found is, don't talk to your guy about this. The first one is don't talk to your guy about how you really feel about his parents. Just don't go there. Even if he knows his mom is a controlling nightmare, he's still going to defend her if you put out the obvious. And that's true. Like, no matter what, whether it be like, you know, the guy saying like, oh, your mom or your dad is this and that. And then if you tell him like your mom's, no matter what, you're going to defend your parents. You know, it's just natural. So, because I'm sure he already knows, so you don't have to like tell him twice. So next one is don't talk to your guy about why you were in the bath, why he was in the bathroom for 15 minutes. Sure, everybody, you know, uses the bathroom, but nothing kills romance faster than discussing what went down on the porcelain throne. That's funny. Like, we all know why, you know, we all go to the bathroom. So you don't need to ask your guy. Don't talk to your guy about your celeb crush. We all know Ryan Gosling is freaking hot. Every guy even your guy knows it. But mentioning it in front of him will just make him feel bad or jealous. Either way, you just don't want to deal with that. Yeah, I guess that's understandable. Don't talk to your guy about how long it took to get ready. Part of keeping the spark going in your relationship is keeping a little mystery. That includes keeping your pre-date prep under wraps. You want your man to focus on the end result, not all the effort that went into it. Next is breakouts. Zits suck, and unless your man is a closet supermodel, he gets them too. But even if you're feeling totally insecure about that monster pimple that popped up last night, don't point it out. You know he won't have the right response, and then you'll just feel awkward. It's just like, yeah, that's weird. It's just like, well, I have this big pimple. And just kind of like, your guy's just going to be like, yeah, okay. It'll just be awkward. Next one. Your body issues. Guys always tells us it drives them nuts when their girlfriends ask if something makes them look fat. Men have a hard time relating to this, and they never know what to say. Not only that, confidence is sexy. So even if you feel like you're having a bad day, shake it off. You'll feel hotter in the process too. And it's true. Like, I mean, you'll have to understand, like, okay, why are you with your guy? Like, because obviously you got your guy thinks, you know, you're hot. Like, whatever body type of size you have, you know, that's why he likes you. And the last one is deets on your period. It's okay to tell him it's that time of month if you or he aren't comfortable with period sex, but take a pass on chatting about bloating or how gross you feel when flow comes to town. Yeah, I think it's just, you know, just tell your guy, like, you know, it's that time of the month and that's it. Like, and he'll understand. You don't have to go into detail because, yeah, it's not too sexy. But yeah, that was the last don't talk to your guy about this rule. And it's the end of the show as well. So next week I will have my last show, most likely Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Same time, 4:30 to 5:30 here on radio.dominican.edu. And I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, full of studying. I have to work on presentations, but yeah. Anyways, listen up next week. Again, 4:30, 5:30 with me, DJ Sugar. Sweet Juicy Talk here on radio.dominican.edu, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes.